The text we're dealing with is super intense, and my prayer is that as we walk out of this room this morning, that we are different than when we came in. Amen? I love that verse in the song. It may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, right? And I don't know what you walked in here with. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what anxieties you have. I don't know what walls you built up. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's surrounding you. But I know in my own life, there's been moments where I felt like everything in the world was surrounding me, and God showed up in the midst of it. Do you remember Elisha? Do you remember Elisha and his servant? And he's like, man, there's this huge army before them, right? And Elijah prays and he says, man, open the eyes of my servant that he may see what I see, right? And the servant's eyes are open and he sees a greater army than the one that's standing before him. Amen. Listen, God is doing things in your life that you couldn't even fathom or imagine. And there are battles that he has won for you that you didn't even know you were fighting. Amen. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we come together today to go, Lord, speak to us. Because if you're silent, we have nothing. Listen, I don't know what you came in this room for, and maybe you're a little disappointed that it's not Joe or Cord. I'm just better looking. And one thing for sure, you won't have any corny jokes, okay? I just am one big corny joke. So let's pray and let's seek the Lord and just ask him to speak. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord Jesus, how amazing it is, Lord God, that you saw that we were, Lord, so many of us struggle with worth in this room, feeling like we're unworthy, Lord God. And for sure, Lord Jesus, there are so many things that we are unworthy of, Lord God. And we feel like we're not important or we're not whatever, but Lord Jesus, you looked at us, and for each person in this room, you shed your blood. That's how important they are to you. And God, I pray that this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would break down any barriers in the hearts of people in this room who maybe don't know who you are, Lord God. I pray you break those barriers down, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would just speak to them, reveal yourself to them, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that for those of us in this room who know you, who love you, who are pursuing you, Lord God, I pray that you would rebuke, correct, and encourage us this morning. And Lord, may we be changed. Lord God, may we be changed by the glory of who you are. For I ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. This is a super, anytime you get to preach the word of God, it's a humbling thing. Amen. And anytime we get to hear the word of God preach, it's a humbling thing. So let's stand in respect for God's word. And we're just going to read 2 Corinthians 7:1. I believe the entire thing we're talking about, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 6, but I believe the entire foundation of chapter 6 is in chapter 7, verse 1. So therefore, having these promises, we'll go back to that. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You may be seated. So if you know anything about the church in Corinth, right, it was one of the capital, it was like the entertainment capital of the world, one of them. It was like the artistry capital of the world. It was very much like our own culture, right? We Americans, like, our music goes around the world. Our art goes around the world. Our movies go around the world. And Corinth was a hub for all of that, right? I mean, Corinth had like the Gucci bags, Prada. You know, they didn't have a Walmart there beyond that, right? Like, they might have had Target, because, you know, Target's like the bougie mom place. Anyway, I'm totally joking. Anyone bougie up in here? Come on, you can be honest. All right. So, yeah, that was Corinth. Like, Corinth was so bougie, we to this day have things called Corinthian columns, right, that were from Corinth. So like, we still use them. Like, and they're called Corinthian columns. That's how bougie Corinth was, right? And they were packed full of every single sin you could even imagine was being done in Corinth. And those people are the ones coming out of that. But Paul writes his first letter to correct them, right? To rebuke them, to encourage them to walk faithfully with God. He writes his second letter because they didn't get it in the first letter. Maybe you get it all the time when God speaks to you. But I know God has told me a lot of things over and over and over again. Amen? So he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church, and he starts it off in chapter 6, verse 1. And before we get there, though, 2 Corinthians 5, right? Paul's just got done saying that we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. So here's an amazing thing. I don't know if any of you are out there like sharing the gospel a lot or doing this, that, and the other, but like when you share the gospel with somebody, God is pleading with that person through you. Like that's what's happening in that moment is God is pleading with that person through you, through the message of the gospel through you. That's what God's doing in that moment. He's using you as his mouthpiece to that person. Isn't that amazing? Come on. That's amazing. Thank you for clapping. That made me feel a lot better about myself. Totally joking. And he's talking to this church at Corinth who is wrestling in their faith. And he says to them in chapter 5, I implore you, be reconciled to God. Because listen, there are moments where you and I get so caught up in the things of this world that we've forsaken our God. And we need to be reconciled again. And we go, Lord, I've gotten in the way of this relationship. Help me come back to you. You ever feel that way? Chapter 6, verse 1. Let's hit it. You guys ready? Let's go. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That word in vain means of no effect. So he's saying to them, look, you could receive this grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor on your life. But it's not just that. It's God's power to actually live out the way he's called you to live. That's his grace. It's the very power of God on your life, right? So he's saying, look, see to it that this grace is not in vain to you, of no effect, that it actually has taken effect in your life. Because some of you claim to know Jesus, but you don't. Because your life looks nothing like him. Listen, we cannot, don't deceive yourself in this room. Man, that is my last desire for you as a human being, is that you'd walk out this room and think to yourself that you know him. Because if your life looks nothing like him, then you have to question yourself. And look, Paul says this to this church at the end of this letter. He says, listen, examine yourself to see whether or not you're even in the faith. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, praise the Lord. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. So what's Paul saying there? He's saying, listen, I don't want to put anything in your way. I don't want to put anything in your way that might make you look at Jesus in a different way, right? But we live in a country where pastors are constantly failing. Pastors are constantly doing things they shouldn't, right? The leadership in Corinth was definitely like that, right? Sorry, I'm spitting a little bit. I apologize. You guys are on the front row. It's like Shamu at SeaWorld. Anyway, some of those parkas. Anyway, I'll try to be better. Anyway, Wow, train of thought. Okay, that's my ADHD kicking in, by the way. They were in danger. These pastors that we have in our culture, people end up losing their faith because they came to know Christ underneath their watch. And they're like, well, if he fell, what does that say about Jesus? And Paul's saying, look, I desire to put nothing in your way that would cause you to look at Christ in a way that is less than who he is. Listen, that's our desire as pastors. That's our desire as Christians. It should be our desire as Christians. Like when you go into your workplace, you should be thinking to yourself, I don't want to do anything that would defile the name of Jesus. Now look, do we fail in that? 100%, right? Like each one of us needs the grace of God. There's no one in this room who doesn't need the grace of God. We all suck in this room. Every one of us. Can I say that word this morning? Right? None of us have it together. Some of you think you do, which means you need the grace of God even more. Because you're the one that thinks everyone loves you. And you might be the one that everyone's like, oh my goodness. That one, Lord, and Lord's like, I know, you gotta love him. You gotta love him. You might be that one. It's okay. Just own it. That God's working on me. Amen? But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardship, and distress. So Paul goes on to say like this whole list of things that he's doing to point to the reality of God's grace and the grace that's been done in his own life. If you remember in chapter, I think it's 3 or 4 of 1 Corinthians, he says, and God's grace towards him was not in vain. Do you remember that? He's like, the grace of God was not in vain in my life. He's like, I've worked harder than any other apostle. He's like, not yet, but the grace of God that is in me. Listen, everything we do for God is by his grace. We are just in step with him. We're going, Lord, your will is here. I want my will to be in line with you. That's what the grace of God does. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live godly lives in this present evil age. That's what the grace of God does. That's what the grace of God should do on your life. It should promote in you a desire to live for him. Amen? So the first question for today is, have we allowed the grace of God to empower us to change? Have you as a follower of Christ allowed the grace of God to empower you to change? Because I don't know about you, but I want to be better tomorrow than I was today. Amen? I want to be better tomorrow than I was today. But that's by his grace. It's me submitting to grace. If I made this phone, who knows best what it's made for? If I made it, who knows best what it's made for? Me, right? Because I made it, right? Now, if the phone comes to me and says, I want to be a hammer, not good for the phone. But you and I have gone before God and go, God, I don't want to be who you've made me to be. I want to be who I want to be because I feel like I'm this way. And God is going, you don't even have a clue about who you are. I made you. I know you better than you know yourself. I know it's best for you. But you and I get caught up in wanting to be something else. And we live in a culture full of, if you feel like you're something, you are. I was about to say something. That was the Holy Spirit. I'll say it nicer. That's stupid. Listen. How could you think you know better who you are than the one who made you? And Jesus rescued you so that your will and his will be in line because you weren't created for sin. That's why it sucks. It's cool for a moment, but after the moment's done, we're all left going, why do I feel empty? It's because you weren't made for it, man. Because you weren't made for it. You were made for something more. And Jesus is offering you the better. Amen? He's offering us the better. I hate my sin. I hate it with a passion. And I hope you hate yours just as much. I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. If we allowed the grace of God to empower us to change. All right. Starting in verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Okay, that word bound, in some of your Bibles it'll say yoked, which I kind of like that word, because, you know, he's saying don't be like an egg. No, that's not what he's saying. It'd be really bad if I really believed that. He's saying, don't be like the, anyway. No, he's saying, look, we don't know, anybody in here grow up on a farm? Wow, some of you did, okay, yeah. Last night, no one grew up, it was like, yeah, one person was like, I was like, thank you, brother. So like when what you do is you would yoke animals together. It was the thing that went over the necks of the animals, right? And they would plow a field, right? But you didn't want one stronger than the other, because what would happen was the yoke would get pulled in a certain direction because the other animal was stronger than the other one. No, you wanted them the same strength. You wanted them the same strength, right? So you wouldn't like yoke an ox with a sheep. For a couple reasons. One, because the sheep would be hanging by its neck. Anyway, but like, you wouldn't do that, right? Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? You see these contrasts? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them. Wow. Do you know that God dwells in you? God dwells within us. Listen, that should shake us to our core. The problem is, some of us in this room believe we're God. Some of us woke up this morning and said, okay, Lord, you can start the day because I've woken up. And walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? The promises that God is in you, that he's with you, that he's among you, that you're his sons or daughters. Like, that's the promises. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what Paul is dealing with here also is this false teaching that had arisen in the church that like the flesh really doesn't count for anything, right? So you can do whatever you want with this. You can sin however you want. You can live however you want, because the only thing that matters is the reality that Jesus has quickened your spirit to life. So that's the only thing that matters, which to a place like in Corinthians sounds pretty good, because you got a lot of things you can do there that aren't of God. He's like, no, Jesus saved your flesh. He saved this. One day this will be resurrected. And he saved your soul. But you are an entire person, mind, body, and soul. He's quickened you to life. But you can't separate the inside from the outside, baby. It doesn't work that way. You are you. Holy you. What Jesus has done is made your spirit alive so your flesh can get under control of the Holy Spirit. Paul says it this way in another verse. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? Are y'all with me? All right, let's go. All right. So the question for us, this next question is, are we partnering with the things of the world instead of Christ? Because what he says, do not be bound with unbelievers. Now that doesn't mean we don't love them. That doesn't mean we're not for them. It doesn't mean that we don't want them to come to Christ. It doesn't mean we can't be friends with them. That's dumb, right? So don't leave here going, I don't have to love them. Pastor Aaron said, I don't have to. Right? No, that's stupid. Like, you know, if that was Jesus, none of us would be in this room. Amen? But what he's saying is, listen, is it good to feed kids around the world? Is it good to do that? Yeah. Is it good to feed kids apart from Jesus? Yes. Yes, it is. But, like, if all we're doing is feeding their body and not their soul, they're just going to go to hell on a full stomach. That's what Paul's talking about. Listen, you can't be yoked with them in the same way because your goal as a Christian is different than theirs. Our goal as Christians is different than theirs, right? Like, I'm an American, but I'm not. We're Americans in this room, but if we're Americans first and Christians second, there's a problem. Because I don't know about you, but I belong to a different kingdom, man. And my job in that kingdom is to advance his kingdom in the country I live in. And only then will my country be great. But we get caught up in all the stuff. Listen, you weren't called to be yoked with that. You were called to be yoked with Jesus. And look, there are churches all over our country who are buying into ideologies, who are buying into philosophies that are completely contrary to the Word of God. I read an article this week. It was a Lutheran bishop who had become a bishop, and they were celebrating the fact that they were the first transgender bishop. And I was like, what? What? What are we doing? Listen, no other Christian in any other part of the world is okay with that. But somehow in America, we're like, yay! Sorry, that was maybe a little intense. I'm sorry. But am I the only one who just gets like, what are we doing? I didn't think so. We're yoking ourselves. We're partnering. The next question is, are we partnering or have we partnered with the things of the world in the name of Christ? Have we started plowing a field that Jesus is like, I'm not even in that field. I want you to love those people. I want you to show them my grace. I want them to know me, but I want to rescue them from the things they think they are because that's not how I made them to be. It's completely contrary to how I created them. Let me say this. Any young people up in here? Raise your hand. Listen, you are being bombarded to believe in a whole lot of garbage. You want to really read a really good book? Strange New World. It explains how we got here through history, how we ended up here in our country. Great book. I encourage you to read it. But people are paying millions of dollars to get you to listen. When there's only one that we need to listen to. And I'm not saying it's me or Joe or Cord. That's dumb. It's the Word of God. And look, there's a lot of people out there twisting this thing. You know, there are people out there saying that Jesus was transgender? What the heck? That's actually out there. Has anyone seen that before? Yeah. What? Go to verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1. We're going to end with this. Therefore, chapter 7, verse 1, if you can hear me back there. Okay, I'll just read it. Chapter 7, verse 1. They had the lights off back there. I'm just joking. Okay, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The reason Jesus saved you was so that you could become holy. But what is holiness? Because I think we need to define these terms sometimes. Because how many have been Christian for like 10 years? Awesome. How many have been Christian for like 20 years? Woo woo. I'm not even going to ask any more than that because some of you look old. Anyway, some of you look like you might not make it out of here today. I'm I'm joking. Y'all look wonderful. Anyway, I'm sorry. Joe and Cord are gonna be like, why did you say that? Anyway, because it's true. Anyway, I speak the truth, guys. No, I'm sorry. Holiness is the reality of you being set apart for the glory of God. I have this armadillo. This is going somewhere, by the way. My mom used to make ceramics and sell them like in Disney and in Germany and all these places. She was amazing at it. Well, she comes into my room one time. She goes, I messed up on this armadillo, right? But I loved it. And I was like, Mom, can I have this armadillo? Now, that armadillo from that point on was set apart as something I treasured. It became holy to me. My wife always jokes about how she's going to break the armadillo because she can't stand it. But I love this. She's like, it's ugly. Like, I don't like it. It's in my office right now. I love this armadillo. Listen, you're ugly. I'm joking. No. Listen, every one of us in this room have, I don't know why God wants us. He just does. And he's going, I've set you apart for my pleasure and for my use. The problem is you're wanting to set yourself apart for your own usages. Is that a word? Good. Okay. I said that. My brain went, I don't know if that's right. You've been set apart for his use. You've been rescued by the blood of Christ. Stop using your life for the things in which it was never made for to begin with. Holiness is you living in line with the will of God and going, God, I'm all in. And so the last question for us this morning is, have we allowed this grace that God has given us to empower us to live for him, of God, have we allowed this grace of God to perfect us in holiness in the fear of God? Listen, is Paul saying we should be afraid of God? Yes! That's what he said. If you're not afraid of God, there's something wrong. He can part the sea. He created the universe. Like that's where, with just words. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've looked at the ground before and gone, let there be a flower. And nothing has popped up. I can't speak anything into existence. I can't save anyone's soul from death. Should you fear God? Man, you're darn tootin', right? Some people say, well, that fear is like love. It just means love. Like, you just love God. Which, I mean, if you want to perfect holiness just in, like, your love for God, heck yeah, do it. Right? Paul also says it this way. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling? That means as you walk through this life, you there should be a part of you that's just kind of like, because you're wanting to do what God wants you to do. The amazing thing is God's coming alongside you and he's rooting for you in ways that you couldn't even fathom or imagine. And there are moments where God looks at you and goes, did you see my son or daughter? Did you see? Like God is excited in just one moment of obedience. Because you know what he's going? Man, because Satan's going before God, he's going, did you see what Aaron did? Did you see what he did? Because he's always accusing me before the Father. And the Father's like, yeah, that was bad. But he confessed it. I've forgiven him. And did you see what he did yesterday? He loved that person in a way that he never has before. And all of heaven rejoiced. That better be Jesus. I'm shaking. Yes, Lord. I'm totally joking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord, we thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord God, I pray for anyone in this room, Lord God, who doesn't know who you are, Lord Jesus, and is wrestling, Lord God. I pray that they would go out to Guidance Point in room 3, Lord God, that they would get the help they need there. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who's just wrestling with their faith, that they'd also go out there and talk to somebody in Guidance Point, Lord God. I just pray that you would move to receive prayer, to receive whatever, Lord. Whoever's here that's not in a life group, Lord God, that they would get in one and be encouraged by the word of God collectively with other believers. And Lord, I just thank you again for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we are nothing, but you are everything. And we ask this all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.